Penguins, lions, and gorillas battled for Hollywood supremacy. Star Wars ended, Batman began, weddings were crashed. And despite all of that, 2005 will go into the record books as a box office disappointment. In fact, movie attendance dropped to its lowest level since 1997. But our critic Bob Mondello says that if you look at quality rather than numbers, the picture is brighter. Here's his 10 best list for the year.
Audiences stayed away, but the films got better. Go figure. I have to say, if you avoided the Cineplex this year, you missed more interesting pictures than usual, at least partly because smart directors were tackling difficult topics. Ang Lee, for instance, who stumbled last year bringing a comic book hero to life, found a kind of majesty this year with a tragic gay love story atop a Wyoming peak known as Brokeback Mountain.
What if you and me had a little ranch somewhere, a little cow and calf operation? Be sweet life.
I told you, it ain't gonna be that way. We're around each other, and this thing grabs hold of us again in the wrong place, in the wrong time, and we're dead.
Brokeback Mountain combines spare dialogue, terrific performances, and breathtaking vistas in exploring a 20-year relationship between two ranch hands that proves stronger than either of their marriages. If that was a change of pace, not just for the director, but for Hollywood itself, it was no more startling than having Woody Allen turn abruptly serious. We know him for his comedies, but Match Point, which opened 2 days ago, is a Hitchcock-like exploration of how life can be a balance of moral choice and fate.
I think everybody's afraid to admit what a big part luck plays. I mean, it seems scientists are confirming more and more that all existence is here by blind chance. No purpose, no design.
Match Point is designed to a purpose. Another director who tackled serious issues with enormous force this year is Steven Spielberg. In his film Munich, he starts with the killing of 11 Israeli athletes at the 1972 Olympics and explores the moral challenges that liberal democracies face when they confront terrorism.
Well, that's the job, right? We're here to kill the guy who planned Munich.
It's strange, isn't it, to think of oneself as an assassin?
Think of yourself as something else, then.
A soldier in a war.
Not all of the year's best films were so serious. Two soldiers in a far more light-hearted war against rampaging bunny rabbits were the animated odd couple Wallace and Gromit. Their feature film debut was a spoof of Mad Inventor movies, Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Simply by connecting the bun vac to the mind manipulation automatic, we can brainwash the bunnies. Rabbit rehabilitation.
Wallace and Gromit were definitely the year's most appealing family film stars. While it was Broken Families that inspired the smartest work by independent filmmakers, Noel Baumbach dipped into his own childhood in The Squid and the Whale, a brilliantly dark comedy about divorce.
I've got you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, and every other Thursday.
Every other?
That's how we each have you equally.
That was your father's idea.
Don't do this.
How will I get to school? There's a subway 4 blocks from the house. 4 or 5. No more than 6 blocks.
And what about the cat?
Squid and the Whale almost seemed a best-case scenario next to Greg Araki's Mysterious Skin, a haunting story of two differently damaged teenagers who discover that they shared a trauma early in life. If Mysterious Skin were a higher-profile picture, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the one-time kid on Third Rock from the Sun, would almost certainly be among this year's Oscar nominees. And Italy produced what is definitely the year's most epic look at the loss of innocence. The Best of Youth spends 6 glorious hours following 2 Italian brothers through some 40 years of European history. A 6-hour movie proved way too hard a sell at the box office, but trust me on this, rent The Best of Youth, and as the ending approaches, I promise it'll be the one film this year you'll be sorry to let go. Far shorter, but an equally tough sell at the box office, was the year's most raucous documentary, Murder Ball, about the U.S. Paralympic rugby team.
Attack, 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 attack!
You know those bumper stickers that say rugby players eat their dead? Well, that's apparently no less true when the players are in wheelchairs. Murder Ball is a blast. That's 8 films. My remaining 2 have southern roots. First, June Bug, a really terrific independent comedy that gets at the human aspects of the red state, blue state divide.
Were you born in Chicago? I was born right here, lived here my whole life. My favorite animal is the meerkat. Do you know what they are? They're so cute. Oh, I've got this little charm bracelet with meerkats on it.
I was born in Japan.
You were not.
And if Junebug was what independent filmmakers can do when they're loose, Capote shows what they can do when they're disciplined. A terrific script illuminated by a perfect performance by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, I've decided on a title for my book. I think you'll like it. It's In Cold Blood. Isn't that good?
And that refers to the crime or the fact that you're still talking to the criminals?
Now, that's 10, but as I said at the top, there were a lot of interesting films this year, so let's keep going. To winnow down to 10, I had to leave out Kung Fu Hustle, which spends 95 hilarious minutes honoring every trend in the history of Hong Kong action films, and The New King Kong, which takes about twice the time to do much the same thing for the history of Hollywood blockbusters. There's also, and I'm going to go fast here, so sharpen pencils, Crash, which deals intriguingly with race, the documentary Enron, The Smartest Guys in the Room, which turns corporate greed into a riveting whodunit, Paradise Now, a revealing Palestinian look at terrorism, A History of Violence, David Cronenberg's creeped-out look at an American family, and The Constant Gardener, in which Ralph Fiennes investigates pharmaceutical research abuses in Africa.
If they don't give consent, then they lose the right to medical care.
It's not much of a choice, is it? I suppose they're not even informed that they're testing a new drug.
I don't make the rules, Mr. Quill.
Mr. Quill?
Yes?
Will you please come with us?
Okay, time's running short, but let's squeeze in four foreign films that centered on women. The haunting French domestic drama, Gilles' Wife, the weird Hong Kong futurist fantasy, 2046, My Summer of Love, a British drama about a too-trusting teenager, and The White Countess, the star-studded epic that will be the final chapter in the partnership known as Merchant Ivory. That is 21 excellent reasons that audiences should have gone to the Cineplex this year. Did you not go? Well, careful what messages you send Hollywood with your attendance patterns. If no one shows up when they make good films, this time next year we'll be looking at Cheaper by the Dozen 3. I'm Bob Mondello.
You can find the list of Bob Mondello's film picks for 2005 and hear his full reviews at our website, npr.org.